determined not to live without thee, for peace is found with thee. That's a real blessing, the thoughts in that song. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your kindness shed abroad to us, Father. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit that guides us. Lord, we just ask you, Father, this morning that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, and that you would help us be faithful to you, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to you, Lord. Thank you for your persistence with us, Father, in our stubbornness. And Lord, we just ask you to help us again, in Jesus' precious name. All right, let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. I want to comment there just for a moment, but I've told how many times that how much I appreciate these smaller books. James was the brother of Jesus. He was close to him. He grew up with him. He knew who he was. He walked with him. He learned from him. He listened to him. And he followed him. And he served him. And that's just, what more credentials would you have to write about the Lord than this? And James, I just love the book of James. It's discounted a lot of times in theology because it doesn't fit with modern man's theology. But there's so much to be learned here from this man who lived and walked with God in the literal sense into this world. Then he goes on and he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, I just want to let us ask ourselves, what do you think of whenever you have a trial? Whenever something really hard comes on you, you've had a bad day, what do you think of? Well, if you're like me, I know joy isn't what you're thinking, is it? But yet, that's what James tells us to do. And I've talked about his credentials. I think he speaks with all authority there is in heaven and earth. You know, there's a verse in Job that says, man is born to a woman. Man that is born of a woman is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. You know, I think sometimes we forget about those things. And we get discouraged and we think life is hard. You know, we just think, oh, this is bad. Or this. I guess my thought this morning, what I want to instill upon us, life is hard at its best. Life is hard. And the more we try to be a part of the kingdom of God, we've asked a hardness that the world hardly even knows of upon ourselves, because life is hard. What I mean by that, we ask a hardness upon ourselves is we inherit an enemy that is determined not only just to destroy the world, he's got them. He leaves them alone, and a lot of times He blesses them in their whatever they're doing. But whenever we come out of this world and we renounce the king of this world and decide to follow Jesus, we inherit what's called the cross. That means Satan is going to come after us and attack us and be after us. You know, we talked about sowing and reaping, and you know, we do a lot of stupid stuff, and a lot of people think that their cross is just reaping their own stupidity, which it's not. That's just the basic law of reaping and sowing. You do something stupid, you're going to reap some rewards. That's just natural. What I'm talking about here is whenever we decide to follow the Lord, we've got an enemy that's going to come at us full court press. I mean, all the way. He has no mercy, no compassion. His purpose, his goal is one thing, and that is to destroy you. Destroy you in mind, body, and soul. That's his goal. That's our enemy. He's got the world. He kind of lets them have it easy. Except for their own stupidity of reaping and sowing. And then they blame God for that. Our enemy wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your mind. He wants to destroy your body. And he wants to destroy your soul. How's that for a happy, joyous thing? It's not. It's a serious thing. But that's why Jesus came into this earth, in this world, because he has given us the power to overcome them. In Timothy, 2 Timothy, it says that God, in King James, it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of a sound mind. Now, I've often thought of that, I think about those verses a lot. Wisdom, and the things that go with it. Anytime you have fear, it is not from God. You know, sometimes we get afraid, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fear. You know, somebody jumps out at us and scares us. We're afraid for a moment. And we all have that. And we're all attacked by things like that. But fear is whenever you allow that startledness or being startled or even a thought or an idea or anything to trouble your mind from there. That's fear. That is not from God. God has not given us that spirit. Our enemy has. I'm not talking about whistling, you know, when there's danger all around and just acting like there isn't. But being wise enough to recognize there is, but being wise enough to recognize that it's all in God's hands. And give it to Him. You know, God has given a sound mind. You know, we've talked about the mind before, and sometimes when we think of a sound mind, we think of somebody getting old and they lose their mind. We've said it before, our souls are not our mind. Sometimes there's a difference between someone's mind who is shutting down and dying and someone's mind who is sound. Sound people, sometimes their mind dies before their body does. But the soundness that I'm talking about of a sound mind comes from a sound soul. A sound soul. And in life, that sound soul has control of the mind. As long as that mind, you know, is healthy, as long as things are functioning properly. And that's what God has came to give us. Whenever we sing about peace, like we talked about, it's not peace because we're not troubled in our mind. The peace that passes all understanding goes much deeper than from in our mind. It's in our soul. That's who we are. That peace that passes all understanding is in our souls. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. When life is hard, you know, we focus on the life and the hardness and the difficulty and, oh, boy, I've got it bad. But James said, count it all joy. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, Paul had said he was learned to be content, whether he was in poverty or whether he had abundance. I think a lot of times, and I think that's one of the dangers of abundance, is because instead of having that peace in our soul and things not really mattering at all to us, we begin to trust in those things. And they begin to possess us. And so when, you know, don't tell me of profit or gain or loss, the song, I can't remember just how it goes now, but tell me not of gain and loss, but tell us about following the Lord, about bearing that cross. You know, and a lot of times, if we're not prospering, we think there's something wrong, and we get all discouraged, and we get upset. And I think that's whenever things are meaning a little too much to us. I know I told somebody this week that, you know, I'd give everything that I possess before I would give up. It just means nothing. I've acquired a bunch of junk. And it means nothing. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Job had everything for a moment, and then everything was taken away. One by one, his friends came along and disavowed him. His wife told him to go curse God and kill yourself. We can't hardly count anything joy until everything's just going just right, and you know what happens? That joy is only mind deep. It's not soul deep. And it doesn't last very long. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It's that hard thing that exercises your soul so that you can go through things and gives you endurance. You know, we want a life where we don't feel that pressure, we don't feel that stress, we don't feel all... Learn to trust God in those things, and that gives you the endurance maybe to do something a little harder. You know, we all strive to get rid of a problem. We've all got a problem that's really plaguing us that we would really like to get rid of. And as we work through that problem, guess what? There's another one that comes along right on its heels, if not before we get rid of the other one. They're always going to be there because life is hard. You know, I've got as good a life as anybody in this world. And it's hard sometimes. We look at people and say, oh, they've got it made. I'd love to have their life. Boy, they got it made. But you know, the person that's got everything in this world going for them has a hard life. And their struggles of difficulties are just as hard as you face or anybody else in this world. Life is hard. But God is good. And God is great. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be... We're not perfect. You know, how many times have you heard that? Nobody's perfect as an excuse for you to go out and just sin again or fall again. But here, James is telling us, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. You see, we can be what God wants us to be. It's not in the perfect sense that nothing ever goes wrong. It's we learn how to be like God in this world. And it says, but if any of you lack wisdom, listen to what he just explained to us. But if you don't understand this, and if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, whenever we think of wisdom, we think of somebody that just got some special gift and they know everything, or they just have it all figured out or whatever. But wisdom's available to everyone. And you know, in reality, wisdom is nothing more than having a sound mind. A sound mind. That's all wisdom is. You know, whenever we think about the old prophets, you know, we think of someone who's out praying somewhere and God sent this message to them and this is what's going to happen. You know, and there were a few times that he did that. But in general, those men were called seers. Not necessarily because they saw into the future. I mean, the witchcraft and what do they call them? The soothsayers, or they got psychics or whatever. They're trying to predict the future. Someone predicting the future is not a prophet or a seer in the Bible sense, because of some spiritual revelation that they're given. The devil wants to portray that for you. A seer in the Bible was someone that right where they were at could look around and see what's going on right in front of them. They were a seer. They were able to see that according to the covenant that God had with the people at the time, if you do this and this and this, this will happen. So they saw the people doing this, this, and this, and they said, this is going to happen. And most of the people were, whoa, how did he know that? He just had a sound mind. That's all there was to it. That's what God wants for all of His people, to have a sound mind. A seer is someone who deals in the reality of right now. They just see what's going on right now. They're not controlled by fear, which is not reality. They're not controlled by phony things that are controlling their mind. They're just living in reality. The reality is, life is hard. And the reality is God has it all under control. How much more of a seer, or how much more real do we need things than that? The world, whenever they follow all the things that the world offers, they begin to live out of reality. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible talks about the people there, and God gave them over to a depraved mind. You know, sometimes we wonder, you know, we're a people that like justice. I don't want to live by justice. But we have a sense of justice, and we see things that are right and wrong, and we want to begin to live by them. I don't want to live by justice. I want to live under love, mercy, patience. I don't want everything that I'm owed. You know, we live that way. Sometimes we think, well, I deserve every penny I get. But if you want to play that game, you might wind up getting everything you deserve. But we seeing right and wrong, we kind of have to balance things like that. Which side of that we're going on? One of them's wisdom, one of them's the other, and it's not good. But we reason. And you know, somebody says something, and it's just reasonable that they say something, that's what it is. And you present something, and somebody sees it, and they just go completely opposite of what you said. You know, the things that are going on in the world, it would be pretty simple to solve most of the problems in the world. And someone just comes on and lies to you and tells you something, and people just believe it. Whenever we leave God, we leave a sound mind. We leave real reasoning. So it's no wonder that so many people in the world just believe everything that comes along, or they don't understand. You tell someone common sense things, and it goes nowhere. There's a reason for that. There's a lack of a sound mind. That's what. You know, we can't look at the world. And, you know, it's sometimes shocking whenever you see it. That someone, you know, they just, where is the reason? Where is common sense in the world? Whenever we don't have God in a real sense, we don't have sense. And there's never going to be. And so we wonder why they don't. You know, and the further and further it gets from God, we've got all the confusion among children today. Whenever people leave God, God will give them, send a strong delusion, One place it says that they'll leave a lie. He'll give them up to their own devices. These are things that God said was going to happen. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work. Perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That instability that tossed to and fro is because the anchor of our soul. You get your soul anchored where it's supposed to be, and you won't be tossed to and fro. We're running around scared to death, just new diseases all around us, just all everywhere, and we're tossed and flung back here. Got to do this thing, now we do this thing, that thing. Plant your anchor in the Lord. And let the wind blow wherever it wants to blow. We're not going to find all the answers from a bunch of crazy, God-hating people trying to sell you a different answer every week. The internet doesn't have the answers. Everybody asks Siri, or ask Google, or ask whoever. They don't have the answers. The answer is get Christ anchored in your soul, because we're tossed. Otherwise, we will be just tossed to and fro like all the rest of the world. The devil wants to scare you to death. He wants to make you sick. He wants to kill you. Body, mind, and soul. Let him have the body. Let him have the mind. Get that soul right, and it won't matter. Life's hard. Get used to it. That's reality. Get your soul anchored in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
We're just nothing compared to help us without God.
All right. Well, anyone else? Nursing home today?
Aurora, Mount Vernon, and Tacoma.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you.